Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Well, here we are at the end of the book of Job. We come now to the theater of our imaginations, employing some creativity to get into our outline. The book of Job being like a stage drama divided into a short prologue, then three major acts, and each act has at least one scene. And on Friday, we came to Act 3, Scene 1. This covers Job chapters 38 to 41. On Friday, I encouraged you to read for yourself Job chapters 38 to 42. And if you did, then you read to the end of the book, and you will be well prepared for what we will discuss this week, right here on God Is. If not, do not worry about it. Just stick with me. By the grace of God, I will do my best to draw out of these chapters certain insights that you can apply to your life. You are here at a good time because God is about to break his silence and speak loudly, boldly, and clearly to Job. And of course, God will speak to you and to me if we will be quiet and listen. We want to be attentive to the voice of the living God through his word, which is the Bible. Let's pick up in the story at Job chapter 38 and verse 1 and have a little review before chapter 39 opens. I'm reading now at Job chapter 38 and verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Here he is. God has come to encounter his servant Job, meeting with Job out of the weather. And God tells Job to brace himself like a man in the military. God is the one asking the questions now. In fact, God is going to ask his servant Job over 70 direct questions. Job 38 verse 3 says, "Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." This is now the voice of God, and as I have said all along, he is the main character in Job. From our seats in the theater, we suddenly have a sickening feeling in our stomachs for Job. He's up there on the stage all alone. A storm has swept over him, and now we hear the booming, thundering, authoritative voice of the living God, and we know Job is really in for it. He's going to get it now. It makes us think of all the times we have doubted, challenged, questioned, even accused God of something. We brace ourselves for the conclusion of this drama. This is climactic. This is exciting, a climax to this whole series of events. We're in the crescendo now. From the orchestra pit, we hear the chilling music as God comes on the scene. God uses chapter 38 to pound Job with this. God rules over man, over the whole earth. God rules over the sea, the sun, the depths of the sea. God rules over the light, snow, rain, and lightning, over ice, planets, and clouds. This is quite the lecture God, the teacher, gives to Job, the student. And then we come to chapter 39, where God continues to speak, and this time God reveals that he is the sustainer of everything that he has created. The animal kingdom is the focus, and God rules over the lion, the raven, the goat, the doe, and the donkey. God rules over the ox, the ostrich, and God rules over the horse, the hawk, and the eagle. God is the ruler. Listen to Job chapter 39, verse 1. Do you know the time the mountain goats give birth? Do you observe the calving of the deer? It is fascinating to me that as I wrote this, I could look out my window here in the United States and see a tree in which two robin birds had built a nest. I have a pretty good view, especially with my binoculars. And one day I saw two chicks, the baby birds in the nest. I watched them for a few days until one day they dropped right out of the nest and flew away. And I thought, God knew exactly when those two baby robins were born. I was sleeping or otherwise occupied when they broke through their hard shells and began the process of growing up. But God was not sleeping. He saw them, and he knows them. God sees everything that happens in the wild, in the forest, and in the trees. And God sees everything that happens everywhere, in your life and in mine. Since then, and as spring turned into summer, I have seen many young robins hopping around as Dad goes off on duty to teach them how to pull these big, juicy worms out of the ground. They sure do start off ugly until that bright orange breast grows in as they get older. God has created all of the wild animals, and he supplies and cares for each one. God is watching, and God rules over all of creation. So this is God's starting point with Job. God is the creator, and Job, he is just the creature, the created one. This puts Job down to size. God is humbling Job, Job who has exalted himself. Let's move with some speed now down to Job chapter 40. And when I read Job chapters 40 and 41, I kept having this recurring thought. We need to hear God speak like this to us today. This God is so unlike the God the Christian church all across the world has today. The majority of Christians have such a small God. He is puny, tiny, God made in our image. We are big. He is small. This is sin. In an effort to emphasize God's grace, we have overemphasized it to the exclusion of God's greatness. God is great. But we do not get that sense in church among other believers. We are too casual about God. We are too caught up in ourselves. We should tremble at the Lord. Shake, really, not be so casual. The grandeur of God is missing from many churches nowadays. Take just the worship service. Can you imagine how it would change if we had God speak to us like he speaks to Job in these chapters? I believe the printed order of worship we are so bound to would be ripped up. The strict time limits put on us by the schedule of service times would constantly be overrun, and the formulaic church service gone. I am not suggesting it would be chaos, because God loves orderly worship. But I am suggesting that we do not hear enough from him Sunday after Sunday. We are in church, but is God? Is he in attendance when we are? Whether we attend in person or virtually due to COVID restrictions or some other reason? Look with me, if you have your Bible there, at Job chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. Job speaks briefly and answers the Lord as such. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer, even twice, and I will add nothing more." Well, 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 Job had demanded his day in God's court. We read about that repeatedly in Act 2, and now here in Act 3, Job gets what he asked for. But suddenly, Job is silent. In verse 5, Job acknowledges he has already said way too much. Job chapter 40, verses 3 through 5 reveal this. And then in verses 7 through 8, essentially God asks Job, "Do you think I am wrong?" I am reading now in Job chapter 40, verses 7 and 8. This is God speaking. "Now gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you, and you instruct me. Will you really annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be justified?" Wow, what a penetrating question. There is a lot we do not know about God. We should be very careful what we say about God and always make double certain that whatever we say is rooted and grounded in the Bible. God is never wrong. God is always right. his judgments stand. We cannot make any accusations against God, accusations that will somehow stick to him. God asks the now speechless Job, "Will you really annul my judgment?" To annul is to declare invalid. If we think of God as the judge, which he is, then when he renders his judgment for us, can we annul it? Can we declare what God says invalid? Can we say that it has no legal standing? Can we sue God and take him to court, see if he can be overruled by us? Well, obviously, the answer is no. But you would think, based on the way we sometimes act, and certainly the way people who do not love God and do not believe in his son Jesus act, that humans are somehow capable of annulling the judgment of God. In the format of a question, God raises this with Job, and the intent is clearly to speak directly to Job's attitude. God is mocking Job. "Oh, so you think you know what is best for you? Well then, perhaps, Mr. Job, you should take over my job. Would you like to take over for me, Job?" God is the judge of every single person's life, and until God judges us, the jury is still out on us. Today is a good time to pause and consider the times in our lives when we have said, sometimes by attitude, and sometimes we have actually put words to it, "God, I want my day in court with you. I want to defend and justify myself before you. I want my shot at justice, just one-on-one with you." Think of those times, maybe you've had one recently, demanding to question the Lord. How does God's words to Job here in chapters 38 to 40 serve as a caution to you, or more than that, a corrective to our attitudes? Holy God, the judge, is dealing with Job, and tomorrow we will pick up here again and continue to hear God speak. I hope you'll join me as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.